are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And with that, it's a Wednesday, usually a historical day, but I've changed it around. I have a gubernatorial candidate, Matt Halila, running for governor. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, David. It's a pleasure to speak to Fairbanksons again. This is awesome. I think this is my third or fourth time here.
Welcome back to the purple padded room.
This is fabulous. I mean, it's got such energy. It's like electric in the room.
You
with
know,
that purple.
It's becoming a place well known.
Yes, it is.
For, you know, just the shock value at times. But anyway,
it's like a dark purple. It's like plum. I like that. It's very
deep,
rich.
Not sort of like a deep purple highway star.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
I like it.
Yeah. Hey, you're on a road trip.
Yeah.
With a camper.
Yes.
With a sign on the camper saying Matt Halila for governor.
Yep.
Or just
it's
Matt
Halila Sumner governor. Yep.
Tell me about it. How long has this been going?
Well, we started, I think we left, what day was it, Kerry? I'm here with my assistant brother-in-law, Kerry King. And what day did we leave?
Monday. Monday.
Monday. And
yesterday was Tuesday.
Yeah, I know. We have made so many stops. This is kind of like Truman Whistle Stop.
Yeah,
you know?
I was just thinking the same thing.
Sadly, there's not enough rail systems along our townships and cities in Alaska to make a whistle stop worthwhile, probably. But so we started in Anchorage, Big Lake, actually, and made our way up the Glen Highway through Palmer, did a few stops there, hit Sutton, Eureka. Then we ended up in Glen Allen, Copper Center, and we've made our way across the Richardson Highway and just arrived here at River's Edge RV Park. And it's a roving billboard. People love it. We call it the Big Blue or the Blue Bomber, and it's a real eye-catching RV, and we're having just an absolute blast, and we're shooting out, you know, where we're going to be throughout the day, and we're having nice little reception in these little areas.
What was Sutton like?
It was good. We stopped at the little general store.
Yeah.
There was maybe six or eight people there and chatted, and you know, people really appreciate that you take the time to stop and say, hey, we want to hear from you. What are your concerns? Just that they even feel like a gubernatorial candidate knows they exist, right? And that's so very important, being a lifelong Alaskan, being from small town Soldotna back in the 70s and 80s, that it's important to feel like you're a part of the process and that you're on someone's mind.
There you go.
Yep.
What did you learn in Sutton?
You know, there's a lot of the same concern. There's a lot of people are concerned that the cost of things has gone up, and yet no people's pay has not gone up, right? So affordability, that's the formula for poor affordability, and people are not making ends meet. With the cost of energy, as we know here in Fairbanks, it's doubly the situation.
Yeah.
And when the cost of energy rises because of our failure to say yes to oil and gas projects and our own energy needs over the last 30, 40 years, we are in this quagmire of the cost of things has risen, inflation. We've had 30 to 40% inflation over the last 6 years. But yet our energy costs are also spiraling out of control, and our job opportunities and high-paid work is not as available as it should be to be able to outpace these inflationary and cost problems. So that's what I'm hearing in Sutton. You know, at the general store, you know, a gallon of milk, $4 or $5 at least. Maybe it was like $6.
Makes you want to go back to freeze-dried milk or, you know, dry milk. Yeah.
Yep. And it's even worse in real rural Alaska. I mean, the cost of things is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
How do you make ends meet unless there's some kind of subsidy? And that's not anybody's goal.
And, you know, most people don't want to live on a subsidy anyway.
No.
Yeah.
People want to be self-sustaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the job market out there?
Well, you know, there seems to be plenty of mediocre jobs. The $18 to $22 an hour jobs, right? The seasonal jobs and things. But that's, you know, that's not improving the odds of young people staying in Alaska because you can't buy a home. There's really no light at the end of the tunnel. Where's the optimism there when you can't get ahead in life? Like, we benefited from the last boom, the TAPS boom, 40 to 50 years ago, and there was high-paid work opportunities. We outpaced inflation dramatically. We could buy a home when we were young. We had enough optimism to have kids and to raise families. And that's really at root of our failing birth rates across the first world, primarily, is a lack of optimism toward the future. And Alaska has everything teed up. We should be through the roof with optimism. We've got every asset, energy, natural resources that our country and the world needs. All we have to do is get out of our own way.
Oh, you mean get out of Kathy Geisel's way?
Yeah.
Senate resources.
Hey, you know what? I don't do battle with people. I do battle with ideas. And if the ideas are bad, meaning fight industry at every step to make it harder for them to be our partner to create high-paid jobs, that's a battle. I'm happy to be a part of that battle.
You know, I think the Senate realized what the fragmentation they were causing by, in their special session, they bypassed Senate resources altogether.
Yeah.
Kathy, we're not going to give this to you. You had 38 hearings on this. You produced nothing.
Right.
So it's in Senate finance. They'll get it after the House sends it to them, and we'll see what happens. I guess my belief is government is there to help when and how they can. They're not, but what we see with Geisel and Senate resources, they were there to stop and purposely hurt.
Right.
Very sad.
Yeah, it's an adversarial relationship with industry right now. And Bill Armstrong of Armstrong Oil and Gas stated it very succinctly. When Venezuela became an opportunity again with, you know, getting Maduro out and all that stuff, what was that, 4 months ago, five months ago? And the administration invited a lot of our oil and gas execs to go down there to look at that 315 billion barrel reserve to get it back online, to get those fields productive again. And the media asked Bill Armstrong, well, you know, you've got your assets in Texas and Alaska. Don't you think it's risky to go down here to Venezuela?
No, he didn't.
And he goes like this, you know what? There's nothing riskier than dealing with the legislature in Alaska. They're worse than the terrorists at times in threatening the well-being of my company.
Yeah.
With threats of higher taxes, higher this, higher that, obstacles, permitting problems. And that should be a wake-up call where, you know, you're looked at as a regime.
Yeah.
That's a problem. We've got to be more inviting and understand our obligation is to prosperity for the next generation. And we get there by finding solutions.
It's very sad when, again, Venezuela is looked at more appealing for business than Alaska.
Yep.
How far have we gone down?
Yeah. And, you know, the recent survey, I didn't look at all the details, but we were ranked literally 50th out of 50 as being a good partner to business in our nation. Out of all states, the worst. And primarily through the regulatory morass, the tangled web we've created up here, because legislators, they don't come... very often do not come from a background of business and understanding simplicity is elegance, keeping things simple and speedy, right? And when, like a mine project, I just discovered this, that from the time you discover an economically viable ore in the ground to the time you're able to turn
extract.
Dirt, and extract it, on average in Alaska, is 29 years. 29 years. The only mining province in the world worse than that is Zambia. So we're right there with Zambia, like these crazy, out-of-control, tyrannical republics around the nation, around the world. And that's got to change.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Matt Halala running for governor in the studio. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
When faced with complex challenges, there are people who come together to solve problems and transform lives. That's us. We are Rotary. We work with community partners to build green spaces for all to connect with nature and each other. We support local youth through mentorship and literacy programs. We're committed to causes that improve lives everywhere. Learn more at rotary.org/action.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. Nice weather and calm seas are allowing charters and private anglers alike to access the fishing grounds in Prince William Sound. While many charters are returning to port with their limits, it was Diane Jukes of North Pole who caught a 113-pound halibut and got on the leaderboard Saturday night. Jukes caught her fish while jigging, and she said she and her husband don't go too far out in the Gulf and tend to fish Glacier Island, Knowles, and Orca Bay.
And we like to go out and spend the night and then fish for 2 days. I have a white jig that has an eye on one end, and it's a double hook, and I just jig. You put it on the bottom, and you kind of jig up and down if the boat's not moving enough. And then when you feel a bite, you jerk up. I said, tell people, we're jerkers. We like to jerk. We like to feel that fish on the end of the line.
Jukes is currently leading the Valdez Halibut Derby. Nathan Kennedy of Fairbanks is currently in second place overall with a 103.6-pound halibut, and Tina Gray of Fairbanks caught a 102.4-pound halibut on Saturday to get on the board in third place. Jukes won the first-place weekly prize, Gray the second-place weekly prize. The Valdez Halibut Hullabaloo Tournament is June 12th through 21st. The angler catching the largest fish during that time period stands to win $1,000 cash in addition to regular derby prizes.
If you're looking to catch a big halibut, silver salmon, or rockfish in Valdez, get geared up at the Prospector in Valdez. Need boots or rain gear? Prospector's got it. Our Valdez store has rods, reels, tackle, bait, and even coolers to bring your catch home too. Talk to our local experts and get the right gear for Prince William Sound. The Prospector's open late all summer.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Daytime highs approaching 68. This afternoon, under mainly sunny skies, winds out of the west around 5 miles an hour. Lows level off around 44. Tonight, mainly clear. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, highs level off around 71. That's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Eric Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I'm Matt Halala, running for governor, state of Alaska, here in the studio with me. Now, after this meeting, you go to the Laundry House Gang.
Yep.
Good location. You've been there before.
Yes, I have. Great group. Wonderful group.
You do me a favor. There's this guy by the name of Craig Compa who's going to be there.
Right.
And if he's there, have everyone sing him happy birthday.
Ah.
Yesterday was his birthday, and he purposely avoided me for the shenanigans I might play on him.
Yeah.
On his birthday. But okay. There's no getting out of my long reach.
Nice, nice.
What are some of the things you've discussed with him?
Oh, some of these right-of-ways, land issues, navigable waters, et cetera. And conservation issues. They seem to be a very well-balanced group.
They are. Yeah. They very much are. Yeah. Based in Fairbanks, too, of all things. Yeah.
I mean, they are of the mind that you can have natural resource development, which is the foundation of how we get back to prosperity. They understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But they also understand the competing forces, and there needs to be a healthy balance between conservation, access to lands, et cetera. That seemed to be, you know, they're all hunters, fishermen, and all that stuff, very important to them. And they have vast experience being prior commissioners. And I was very, very impressed. I mean, they were schooling me on a lot of the, I'm a lifelong Alaskan, hunter, fisherman, commercial fisherman, all this stuff. But boy.
I'm going to tell you what I tell every person who comes in running for state house, state senate, governor, whatever. Your policies on access, game management, et cetera, is whatever they think you should have. They are that good.
Right, exactly. I mean, well, there's a lot of wisdom there. It's not enough to have knowledge, because you do have to navigate the choppy waters of politics and competing interests out there. And that requires wisdom.
Do you think we're going to get a operational gas line bill through the House and the Senate? Something that will help and not hinder,
you know,
the development.
I was very impressed that Prestige, I'm not sure the pronunciation of Glenn Farn, lead president, I believe, just the other day gave an assurance that if there is major cost overrun with the building of the line beyond that $53, $55 billion high-end number, that the costs would not be passed on to the end user or to the state of Alaska.
Yeah.
That's quite an assurance.
Yeah.
That de-risks it a bit. And I think that most in the legislature understand how critical cheap and abundant energy is to the future of Alaska. And I think even the more obstinate ones can be persuaded as that deal gets a little more de-risked, as there is more of an imperative that is evident. And the public wants this. It's overwhelming. The Alaskans want this line. We're tired of talking about it. We've been talking about it now, what, 40, 50 years?
50 years.
And we just see our energy costs rising, rising. If we don't do it now, we know in 5 or 10 years we're going to regret it.
Yeah.
Because it's only going to be more costly. We're going to be in a more dire situation, being dependent on others, other energy sources, which is unconscionable. It's ridiculous.
You have two roadblocks, and they're both in the Senate. One is a ardent Democrat. That's Senator Wilkowski.
Right, right.
And he's in rules. And, you know, he, boy.
Smart guy.
Very
articulate.
Yeah.
Yep.
But just the smartest person in the room might be the dumbest person you come across.
Right. I think that people like that should be the focus of the proponents of the project to get in a room and say, hey, what's it going to take? And make a deal, right? And what are your primary concerns? You do understand we have an obligation to the next generation.
But at the same time, you have animosities with Senator Wilkowski and Giesel. They do not want any success attributable to the governor.
I know. That's a sad thing.
Very sad.
I know. We said this, not TDS, but DDS, like Dunleavy Derangement Syndrome.
Yeah.
It's a sad thing, right?
Yeah.
Is it curable? I don't know.
Yes, actually, yes, it is. And it's called a term limit.
Exactly. Right. Yep. I was laughing about term limits. We all think it makes great sense unless you've got a great representative that you want to stay in there forever, right?
I was looking at the governor. He's got term limits.
Right, exactly.
So no matter what. So,
that's very true.
But you're still going to have, if you have a Republican governor elected, someone like Wilkowski, you're going to have that issue again, no matter what.
Right.
He looks at his political party, not the state of Alaska. Sad. Right. I don't foresee that in you at all.
I think greater transparency and accountability through, hey, we are harming the next generation, our kids, our young adults, they're leaving. Is that what we want to see? And the answer is not doubling down on what government can do. It's doubling down on how government can assist and be a good partner to industry and give results for Alaskans, right? And that's how we got to have that vision of prosperity and be flexible with the plan. We can fight over all the little marginal issues out there. That's fine. But that mission of prosperity for the benefit of the next generation, we got to keep reminding ourselves of that. And I think as a governor, you have to be present and be there, maintain relationships. As frustrating as these negotiations can be, you're going to get to a successful outcome if you're there in person and keep reminding each other about the obligation we have.
True. So who did you visit this morning?
Well, we went to the Little Owl Cafe.
On College Road there?
Yeah, and it was
great,
fabulous.
Great
and
spot.
And we met with it's 8 or 12 people there.
Yeah.
And chatted and introduced myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a spectrum of political persuasion, I'm sure, there, which is great, right? And, you know, obviously I'm right of center. I'm Republican, lifelong Republican. And I think everybody's concerns are valid. And they're very similar. Affordability, right? And as a business owner, I was speaking with the young woman, Sarah, there, and talking about the challenges.
Yeah.
And the challenge of the cost of product, the cost of everything rising, and people's ability to pay more and more and more is limited, right? You just can't keep raising prices on people. At some point, your sales drop.
And 2 years ago, they hid behind it. They had the labor changes that came in from the outside influences again.
Right.
And that is, you know, with the new labor laws, with paying off
paid leave.
Yeah. It's really hurt.
You know, a lot of the most damaging and egregious things that happen to business and the citizenry are veiled in things like it's helping either the kids or the needy, or it's veiled in empathy.
Yeah, or it stops dark money.
Yeah. Have your radar up when someone is telling you that your increased burden in business is your obligation to help someone.
Yeah.
That is always, it ends up being the opposite. And ends up harming business. You're less able to employ people.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help people? You create more job opportunities that are meaningful, right? And that's the main concern.
You know, I was fortunate that had no effect on me whatsoever, because everyone who works for me or with me is an independent contractor. And I give them a 1099 from Alliance Accountants.
And more employers are going to do that.
Yeah.
They're not going to want to provide like full-time employment. They're going to just piecemeal it because to
you're
avoid
not, you're not
some
gonna
of these
get
crazy
any benefits.
Things.
You will not get benefits.
And I know a company, because of that new law that went into effect for the paid leave and all this stuff, for paid time off, they just moved the goalposts further out for the average employee to get certain benefits because of this new thing. So it seemed to help up front, but it harmed on the backside.
Yeah,
and that's what always happens.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
So
anyway, that's a pessimistic side, but,
but
the optimism.
It's an accurate side, though.
Yep.
And so you've seen that history, and now if you're elected governor, you can help combat those histories.
Yep. If there's a law, a regulation, a procedure that doesn't have a clear benefit, the default needs to be delete.
Yeah.
That is the mindset we have to get in. And companies are in that right now. You see these big layoffs and things. They get top-heavy, inefficient, and they're understanding.
You mean like GVEA?
well, like, you know, look at all these big tech companies. They have to trim the fat. They've got to become efficient and competitive. Government doesn't do that. They become more wasteful, less efficient, and it sadly wins them votes, right? Showering money around people, making promises they can't deliver on, politicians.
Yeah.
And it's a sad cycle that we get fooled into following time and time again. And we need to have more entrepreneurs stepping forward and getting involved in government. And I was talking to, you know, that young owner of that cafe this morning, that legislators, politicians do not understand the heartbreak of a failed company, of a failed small business. When you put your heart and soul, your life savings into something, and that legislator, that morass of government adds another burden that they say is for the benefit of somebody else, and it kills your business. You know, it's nothing off their back, and that is just a shame.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We have a little bit of bumper music, then we have some Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather, and we will be back.
Problem.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 668.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. President Trump announced the United States will launch more strikes against Iran. Speaking today at the Oval Office, the president says Iran could still agree to a peace deal.
All they have to do is they have to start signing a paper. It's fully negotiated. We have a fully negotiated, but they're tapping and tapping.
The president accusing Iran of shooting down an army helicopter over the Strait of Hormuz. The House Judiciary Subcommittee holding a hearing over concerns the NFL's shift of live games from broadcast to streaming services is raising costs for consumers. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Rep. Jim Jordan says lawmakers trying to answer one question.
Does this still work for consumers? And maybe it does. Like, we haven't reached any type of conclusion. We just know the situation. We know what our constituents and what fans are telling us.
Well, the NFL claims most of its games are still being aired for free on broadcast TV, but fans are having a tough time finding those games when they are on streaming. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports that Dan Sullivan from Southeast Alaska, who hopes to unseat the U.S. senator of the same name, said in an interview early Monday that he's a legitimate Republican candidate who's not trying to trick voters. Then later that day, the office of Republican Lieutenant Governor Nancy Dahlstrom, who oversees Alaska's elections, said the state is opening an investigation into Dan J. Sullivan, 69, a retired schoolteacher from Petersburg. The Sullivan from Petersburg said late Monday evening that, "I have done nothing that should prevent me from running in this race. I filed correctly. I paid my fees. I'm not quite sure what the stink is, but I guess I'll find out," he added. He said he'd just been informed of the investigation and may need to get a lawyer. The second-term Senator Dan S. Sullivan and National Republican Group have raised the specter of legal action to get Dan J. Sullivan's name off the ballot, saying he's trying to defraud voters to help the incumbent senator's top challenger, Democrat Mary Peltola, a former U.S. representative for Alaska.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Our veterans and fishermen are vital to Alaska's well-being, and Senator Dan S. Sullivan has been fighting for them. Retired Navy SEAL Lottie Shaw.
Senator Sullivan, as a veteran, goes above and beyond the call of duty. Pay raises for the active duty community and bringing about better health care for the veterans in our rural community. Senator Sullivan really leads the way on behalf of veterans in the state.
And fighting for those like Bristol Bay fisherman, Mike Ferris.
I think every fishery is affected by bycatch right now. I appreciate Senator Sullivan introducing the Bycatch Reduction and Research Act so we thoroughly understand what's going on with these fisheries, not only supporting me, but my family and future generations.
Call and tell Senator Sullivan to keep fighting to protect our veterans and fishermen. 907-271-5915. Paid for by One Nation. OneNationAmerica.org.
Store your boat safely and with ease. Trailer trucks, cars, and boats, and don't forget RVs. Great news, Westside. Independent Rentals' new storage location on Chena Pump, just down from the boat shop, is now open and ready to help with all your storage needs. Take advantage of our awesome move-in specials. Call us today, 456-6595. Independent Rental Storage. Safe, secure, affordable.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereaton, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereaton, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Okay.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Matt Valela. So you're gearing up for the final 60 days.
Yep, the primary. It's, you know, again, I'm not a politician or a bureaucrat. First run at this. I like my position, kind of drafting off a couple of lead horses. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had nothing unique to offer, or if I was really excited about one of the other candidates, I probably would have never jumped in a year ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, the same old thing, the status quo, as a lifelong Alaskan, as a voter, I'm tired of it. I've heard from a lot of Alaskans, they're tired of it. And it seems to me in a lot of Alaskans that we keep voting in the same kind of person that has no experience making deals happen, like in the real world, in the wild. They find value in process. I understand the process. Well, you know what? The process needs to be blown up a bit.
You know, they hide behind, well, I work hard for public policy.
Yeah.
Kiss my backside.
You know, a great mentor of mine said, let's not confuse effort with results.
Yeah.
I know you're putting a lot of effort into things, but you're not getting results. And results are the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
And, you know, our next generation, everybody's suffering because of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to change.
After the Laundry House Gang, where are you going to be tonight?
We're going to be at the Mayan Palace at 5 to 6. All are welcome.
5 to 7.
5 to 7. Okay, 5 to 6, 5 to 7, yep. And
I'm not a stalker, but yeah, I saw your post.
Yep, we look forward to that. Every day we've got, it seems, three or four meet and greets as we're traveling around on this whistle stop tour. And, you know,
have you stopped in Salche yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we did. We, Salchaket.
Salchaket.
Salchaket. Yeah. Yes. And we went to the Roadhouse there. That was great. Had a little hors d'oeuvre and chatted with some people, dropped off a big 4x4 sign at this gentleman.
Okay. I got the personal question.
Uh-huh.
How many pounds have you gained since you started this? Because wherever you go, someone's going to try and feed you.
Oh, I'm just constantly eating. Now, somehow I'm able to eat a lot and not gain a bunch of
weight.
You're
a jerk.
I don't know why.
We want to hurt you.
But I bounce up and down 5 pounds.
Okay.
But the problem is, because I'm not a real big guy, 5 pounds shows up in my face.
Yeah.
Like right away.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. So, it's, you know, I've got to limit it a bit because like every stop, every hour and a half, there's, you know, we 4 pizzas or whatever. But it's all for the people that are out there and... It's a way to, you know, get people talking, to give them a drink and some food. So we're having fun.
Good for
you.
And
it's to patronize the establishments.
Yeah.
That's a thing, too.
From when you leaving Fairbanks? Tomorrow morning? Tonight?
Tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Yep.
Where do you go from there?
We go back down toward Cantwell, Healy. We're going down the Parks Highway.
Okay.
And then we're going to have some kind of a gathering at Floaters and Big Lake. And I'm not sure what else we have tomorrow. I've got to look at that itinerary again. It seems to change
hello,
daily.
Hello, my name is Matt.
Yeah.
And thank God I have Carrie with me.
Exactly. Carrie and Stacy's with me. And my sister Jill, Carrie's
husband.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, wife. Yeah.
There you go. And then we've got Tom, our manager down in Kenai, changing the calendar all the time. And we've got a team back home. So,
Carrie, you want to say where are you going?
I was just going to say, it looks like we're going to be hitting Willow. We're going to do a meet and greet at Willow at the Willow Community Center, then down to Houston, then finally into Big Lake, like Matt said, Floaters on Thursday. And then Friday, we're going to do a little bit of meet and greet in Wasilla at the Fred Meyer and also at Newcomb Park. So,
yep, a picnic, barbecue at Newcomb Park.
You're going into an area where you're probably gathering strength because of your lieutenant governor choice. A very good choice.
Right, yep. Yeah, I'm very excited about Jesse. And like I said, I had known of Jesse, but I didn't really get to know him until this last month or so.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a very, this ranked choice voting thing is very interesting with a lot of candidates.
Yeah.
Historically, people, if they wanted to be lieutenant governor, they'd put their name in the hat. They run on their own ticket, right? And so they're already pre-filtered that's what they want to do. Now, the gubernatorial candidates have to go out and find someone.
Recruit.
That wants to be a lieutenant governor. And believe it or not, people that would be useful in that position, there's not a lot of people that want to do it.
Yeah.
And if they're in their prime earning years, it's a big pay cut. A lot of people have no interest in getting involved in politics. They don't want to have their background dug into and lies made about them, et cetera, like so often happens in politics. And so it becomes this challenge of finding someone that would be good, would be a value add to a ticket. And I wanted to find someone that was, number one, young enough, smart enough, right? And could, you know, fulfill the obligations, you know, clean up the elections, deliberate and adjudicate elections, also, you know, guard the seal. But I also want them to be involved in this transparency of spending. that we're going to do as a an audit that is augmented by technology that's happening all around the country. We're seeing all this fraud being revealed. You know, we know for a fact there's waste and abuse in our state. We know this. The public knows it. There's a lack of confidence in where money is going. Whether there's overt fraud, who knows? But we have an obligation to publish and be transparent about these things. And people's eyes glaze over. We've heard that for years. You know, politicians, we're going to create accountability and transparency. Well, we have technology now that does this for us. And it is an AI-based technology that is being used right now to reveal a lot of things. And that's got to be implemented right away. Day one of my administration.
I met Jesse. He was on the real estate commission with me. Then he got elected to state house. And very astute person, you know. Yeah. And what I liked about him, he was like me. You know, we're all on the real estate commission. You're bringing working aspects from the field into public policy.
Right.
And my view of being on the real estate commission, I was there to represent the public. And you had many people on there, their view was we represent the realtors. It's like, no. We represent the public from the realtors.
Consumer protection.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jesse was that way. He was a builder.
Yep.
And
very successful builder.
Yeah, very good. And, you know, we'd have groups come in. You know, I got the disclosure statements changed around, updated. It hadn't been updated in 12 years.
Right.
And, oh, my God, we have these real estate groups, you know, coming in this yelling at us, oh, you're making us do this. And I'm just saying to myself, we're here to protect the public to make sure you don't do anything bad to them.
Right.
As a governor, you're there to protect the citizens from the government.
Exactly. Yeah, private property rights and the securing of that therein is critically, like in our Constitution, it's mentioned like 20 times or something.
Yeah.
The securing of private property rights of the individual, our Bill of Rights, the whole thing, and Jesse's someone that has survived making a living in the wild, out on the tundra, and against predators. He's surviving and thriving. And that takes a special person of determination, of wit and intelligence and fortitude. And, you know, this is the whole thing with the bureaucrats. They get in the zoo, right? A protected environment. They forget what it means to survive in the wild. And that's what I liked about Jesse. He served well for 2 years down in Juneau, elected to leave because he had a business to run. He bought his dad's business, and he is thriving and succeeding in that. And that is a big deal. It was quite an honor that he said, yes, I'm going to join your ticket. He liked how I was different, coming from the private sector again.
He was a doppelganger of you in business.
Yeah.
And had spent time with government in both administration on public policy and implementing. And, hey, don't tell me what you're going to
do. You're hiring someone for me. If I'm hiring a CEO or a manager of one of my businesses, I look at that resume. What have they actually accomplished? What have they done? I speak with references, you know, to learn more about people. You know, the interview does matter. And that's analogous to a campaign. The pageantry of a campaign, right?
Yeah.
Is what is someone saying? That matters. But what matters most is what have they done? What do they do, right? And that's where Jesse fits that bill perfectly. And that's what this ticket's about.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The road is where you make it with the Cooper Discoverer Rugged Trek All-Terrain Tire from GCR. Rugged Trek's aggressive tread design delivers the off- and on-road performance you need and the look you want. Versatile with comfortable all-season ride and superior traction even on snow and ice. Take control of Alaska's driving conditions. For your light truck or SUV, buy your Cooper Discoverer Rugged Trek at GCR. GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
I'm Mary Peltola. I grew up in three tiny villages before we moved to the big city, Bethel. Right now, there are families in that region hauling jerry jugs of fuel because they can't afford a delivery. It's not just that politicians in DC don't care that we're paying $10 a gallon for diesel in rural Alaska. They don't even believe us. Overpriced fuel, overpriced food, overpriced ammo. The politicians rigging our economy have made life in Alaska unrecognizable. But I know this in my bones. There's no group of people more ready to save ourselves than Alaskans. It's why I'm running to bring our voices to the U.S. Senate, to bring down grocery costs, save our fisheries, lower energy prices, and build new housing Alaskans can afford. I approve this message because it's time to show D.C. what Alaska First looks like.
Paid for by Alaskans for Mary.
So what sets Fairbanks Urology apart? For one, on-site labs with same-day results available for most tests. Are you concerned about your appointment day and time? Want to be seen sooner due to worsening symptoms? Well, just ask. Their dedicated triage team will be sure to coordinate care at a time that best supports you. Fairbanks Urology is dedicated to preventative screening, evaluation, and education. Taking care of yourself starts with just one appointment. Fairbanks Urology, corner of Cushman and Gaffney. Online at fairbanksurology.com.
KFAR weather.
Mainly sunny today with daytime highs approaching 68. Southwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 44. Highs around 71 tomorrow. A blend of clouds and sun. Highs around 71 Friday with a slight chance of thunderstorms. 76, mainly cloudy skies Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Matt Halala and his brother-in-law, Carrie, in the studio with me here. Matt is running for governor, state of Alaska. How long have you been at this now? Over a year.
Well, announced July 11th, 7-11 of last year. Yep. And we've been, I mean, we have traveled all around the state, which has been wonderful. Fab, just meeting people. You know, my strength is in-person interaction. That is my strength.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting on a campaign. You learn where your weaknesses and strengths are.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to fill in that. You focus on your weakness to build on that. And frankly, the social media thing. You know, when you're a professional in the last 30 years, when social media arose, it was something to be avoided if you had large clientele because you didn't want to offend people. You certainly didn't want to talk politics.
Now, hold it. Just stop right there.
Yeah.
Are you the real Matt Halala or are you the fake Matt Halala that has the other separate website up and doing that? Which one are you?
Well, You know what? I'm certainly not the fake one because that's absurd. And that's been out there now like 7 months.
Yeah.
And I've hired people to try to get that taken down. And whoever did this, now we have a strong opinion of who did this with 95% confidence, covered their digital foot tracks very well. And they put a great deal of effort to boost it, to promote it. So someone thinks I'm a threat. And I think they see what I represent. I'm different from the others.
Yeah.
Businessman, the whole background thing, right? And it's flattering, but it has created some problems.
That's a sad state of affairs. No, you've been experiencing this now for, what, 6-7 months?
Yep.
Then all of a sudden, Senator Dan Sullivan. Now there's a second Dan Sullivan on purpose.
That's goofy.
This is purposeful intent to mislead a voter.
Exactly. Yep. And I understand satire and parody. That's fine.
Yeah.
Or direct criticism. You know, this, my competitor is a failure because of this, whatever, right? But to impersonate your campaign website and you in first person saying things is, that's where it crosses the line into besmirchment, defamation, and it's actionable legally. So we're still contemplating all these things, but it's been a frustration. I try not to worry about it because the people that know me go to that website accidentally and say, oh, they know immediately it's fake. And I thought most people would know that it was fake, but people that don't know me have no idea, and they do fall prey to it.
Yeah.
I even had a couple of people cancel meetings with me because they went to research me prior to the meeting, got to the fake website, said, wow, this guy has problems. Ooh. You know, and called my manager saying, I can't meet with this guy. And just to advise you, he's got no future in politics if he's out there confessing to weird things.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you talking about? You mean that fake website?
You know, I confess all the time. I'm in a purple padded room. I don't operate the North Korean equipment very good. I can't eat fish. It makes me puke.
Yeah.
I just went to confession and I'm Catholic.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you know, that's life in politics, and I've got a reasonably boring background with regards to controversy. I mean, you know, never say never, but
hang out with me more often.
Yeah. And so, you know, but, you know, the other good thing about me being fresh in this operation of politics is I don't have any bad relations with legislators. There's nobody down there that won't work with me because we had some bad disagreement or fight and dirty laundry or whatever with anybody. So it's a fresh start.
No historic friction.
Absolutely. And that's the approach. It's like, hey, we're not going to see eye to eye on everything, but we are going to see eye to eye on our shared obligation to gaining some prosperity to benefit the next generation like we benefited.
So you go down to, have you planned out your next 60 days? Because, you know, it's that August 18th day. You're going back down towards the Wasilla area.
Yep.
How long are you there for, and then what do you do?
You know,
how long are you living in the motorhome?
Well, we're going to be in that motorhome as much as possible because it is, I mean, it's such a perfect platform to launch from. Yeah. Any town, you know, we've got Starlink on the top. We can communicate with social media. Hey, we're going to be at this cafe in the next 2 hours. And we can do a lot of things in real time. And it is, it's a roving billboard.
You know, it's great that you have your family with you, too. Yes. I just, you know, boy, you put me and my two brothers in a motorhome for a couple days.
Yeah.
There's going to be some people throwing out the window.
Yeah. And this motorhome is the perfect, you know, it's a Class C, right?
Yeah.
It's a Super C. Mm. And it can take the washboard roads. We can go down the dirt, bad roads in some of these areas.
Who drives it the most?
I do. Okay. Although Stacy became a great driver again yesterday. This was a bigger unit than we had years ago.
Yeah.
And yesterday she drove it for like 3 hours.
Wow.
And she's great.
Well, yeah. She is great, but now she's becoming a great captain of the motorhome.
Yeah. You know, one of the reasons why I was so impressed with her and so when we started dating when we were like 16 was she was a great snow machine rider.
I thought she was very attractive.
She's very pretty.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Prettiest girl in Soldotna, I'm telling you.
There you go.
And, you know, I was not a stalker, of course, but she was so capable with mechanical things. Like she could drive a snow machine. She could back up a snow machine trailer a quarter mile down a trail, barely as wide as a car. I mean, just...
She had it down.
Incredible stuff. Yeah. And my ski boat, that we had this junky little ski boat on Longmuir Lake... She was the only one I allowed pull me while I was water skiing. My buddies were a little too erratic and stuff. Mm-hmm. She was perfect. And so
that's
I'm like,
great.
This girl is smart, she's funny, she's beautiful, and she's capable. And she's been the perfect partner for 36 years.
That's great.
Yep.
What are your kids doing?
Our daughter is she works at a parish in South Anchorage, St. Elizabeth's, at a school and parish there. And she is raising four kids, our four grandkids in Anchorage with our wonderful son-in-law, Michael. He's a journeyman electrician. And our son, the 28-year-old, our daughter's 33, is an electrical apprentice and commercial fisherman. So that's what he's doing.
You know, it's sort of like following the gene pool.
Exactly. And they're all very engaged with what's going on in the world, very inquisitive, very curious. Optimistic young people, but you know, it's hard for them to beat this affordability problem.
Yeah.
And they need high paid work opportunities and a boom up here in Alaska too. And I'm a little stingy. Stacy and I want our kids and our grandkids to stay in Alaska, to stay near us. And the idea that we can't get there from here, that is prosperity, threatens our young people staying here and making Alaska their long-term home.
Yeah.
That's the reality of it. So that's our mission. That's why I'm running.
You know, we got a phone call we're going to take. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Matt Halilo, candidate for governor, and your name is?
This is Mel.
Hello, Mel.
And I'm sorry. I'm calling very late just to get in a question because it's Wednesday, and, you know, usually I always check on Wednesday to see if you're having any of your historical guests, Joni Hillbrand, or his name escapes.
What's your question,
morning,
sir?
Mel.
Well, I recently read that Joni is checking out of, you know, historical, you know, appearances. And does that affect your show at all? I'll hang up and listen.
No, not a bit. I lost a bet to her, and I made her the best lunch in the world last Wednesday. And she's still, I don't know what she's, you know, declining to do, but she was the first one that came in on a monthly basis. I got a couple of people to do it now to talk about history. She does the history of the Fairbanks area and stuff like that.
Wow.
Then the other person, Nick Nugent, he was supposed to be on today, but since you are here, he will be on next Wednesday.
So nice.
I want you to do some sucking up to
Thank
Nick.
Thank you,
Nugent.
Nick. Yes, for the change of schedule. Very
and,
nice.
And Nick is looking at moving, and he told me if he asked if we could still do it on a quarterly basis. I said, oh, goodness, no. We're still going to be doing it every month. You'll be calling in. You'll email me like
nice.
He always does. So the Wednesday, Mel, thanks for calling. Wednesday's the most popular day just because of the history that KFR allows us to bring out here. So
nice.
Yeah.
So it's deep tradition.
Yeah, it is.
Very cool.
Yeah. So what the heck?
Well, talk radio is still thriving out there, especially in Alaska.
Yeah.
It's very important, very critical. I learned about politics on talk radio in the late 80s. There was a guy named Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
You know, I had my first year of college at the University of Oregon in Eugene. Very, very radicalized campus. I was from Soldotna.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not able to articulate my beliefs very well in the debate. And I was disappointed. I came back home to UAA and heard this loudmouth guy bombastic on talk radio. And I started to understand political positions and mm-hmm. things. And talk radio became just a part of my life as a college student, listening in the background. And, you know, I think that that still plays a significant role out there.
You know, even though I'm on talk radio, I'm a River fan. 96.9 The River, classic rock and roll.
Oh, nice, nice.
And we have a couple of the people here that are you know, you call them DJs or whatever they are, you call them now. And I'll pop into this and say, hey, how about this? Like a couple days ago, I said, can you play some Aerosmith for me? Yesterday, yeah. Could you play some Santana Moonflower for me? You know, it's
nice.
Just, you know, I am so fortunate. This is a great company, great people. Just, and they wow. treat me so well.
And a great city.
Yeah, and I'm the most part-time person here.
Wow.
Come in for an hour.
Well,
and,
you're becoming your own institution here, I'm telling you.
Yeah, this purple padded room.
Yes.
What the heck? You know, even Carrie, he's in awe of the purple pads.
I am.
So you got about 2 minutes left, sir. How do you want to end it?
Well, you know, I just want to tell people in Fairbanks and around the surrounding area that, you know, coming from the south central part of our state, you know, we don't have a lot of occasion as young kids to come up here to the interior. And what a cohesive community that you have here. It's much different than what we experienced down in the Anchorage. You know, there's pockets of cohesive groups down there, but the whole community really rallies around each other. And I think the whole state can unify under our obligation to our young people so that they can stay and thrive. We must make bold change. It's time for change. And I think if you look into my candidacy, I uniquely represent that. My candidacy and Jesse Sumner and I represent that next generation that have the know-how, that come from a background of business, not of bureaucracy, and we can make things happen like the bureaucrats are not able to. And they're demonstrating that every day. And we need to unify under that common mission of prosperity for the next generation. So any support out there, I'd appreciate, and I think that it's going to be for the benefit of everybody.
Matt, thank you very much for being on. You have a great day in Fairbanks.
Thank you.
I will see you on Friday.